Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to the show and a relatively new company in the markets here. The company is called Infield Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol INFD. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Eva Nakano. Now, Eva, it's the first time on your show and really the first time we are introducing Infield to our audience. So we're going to stick to more high level discussion here on what's going to be driving the company forward and the key projects within the company's portfolio. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Infield Minerals is focused in Nevada, focused on high-grade gold and silver. The company has two properties, all early-stage exploration properties. We're going to start with the M1 property. Now, again, this is in Nevada. The company has just started a drill program that began at the tail end of September. We'll get into that later, but if you could please, Eva, just give us a little background on this M1 property and any historic work that has been done here, please.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. So our M1 property, we optioned last year as a private company. We carried that property through the early surface work to build it up to drill ready. And we, in the meantime, we took Infield public on the TSX Venture Exchange with the M1 property as our listing asset. That property is located about a 45-minute drive north of Ely, Nevada. It's located approximately 30 kilometers southwest of the Kinsley Mountain deposit. So we're in eastern Nevada. M1 is in what is now being touted as an emerging mineral district in Nevada, the Long Canyon District or Long Canyon Trend. The early work that was done on this property was back in the late 80s and early 90s by Freeport and Coeur. Those operators at the time, as was the case during that era, they were looking for traditional Carlin-style mineralization. And so you see that reflected in the work that they did at the time. They drilled a number of shallow vertical drill holes, looking for that low-hanging fruit, the traditional Carlin style. However, in more recent decades, with the discovery of Long Canyon Mine and Kinsley Mountain deposits, these rocks in further east have shown themselves to be prospective with a slightly different model in mind. So a newer conceptual model, rather than looking at traditional Carlin style, looking more structurally at these high angle brecciated units, which is what we see at our M1 property, particularly in the north zone, where we're drilling. The entire property from north to south is about a 10 kilometer stretch that does cover the structural corridor where we do see outcropping in the north zone, high angle breccia in and around where we have our drill holes located. And so just to highlight quickly some of the historical work there, interestingly, there was two drill holes that did historically intersect some grade of interest. And again, these were shallow holes. One hole intersected half a gram of gold over 15 meters, and that included an intersection of over 2 grams gold over a meter and a half. And that drill hole was shut down at 30 meters depth, which is super shallow, obviously. So it did not test the target area or where the interpreted structures are from all of the surface work that we did. And similarly, there was another hole with similar results, half a gram of gold over 8 meters. And that drill hole was shut down at 24 meters depth. So in both cases, and when you look at the historical work overall, they did have a different model in mind and did not test the true target areas that we're testing with our new conceptual model. So we're very excited to be drilling there. As you mentioned, we launched that campaign a few weeks ago. Looking forward to wrapping up the campaign in the near term and getting those samples off to the lab for assay.
Well, Eva, it sounds like you're reinterpreting the geology in a way that the previous companies hadn't. So it'll be exciting to see what those assays report when they come back. And it sounds like the majority of the focus is on the north zone target. That's the priority target. But you'd mentioned off mic an interesting experience you had when just surveying the central zone. So maybe just share that quick story with us and the prospectivity in that area that could be looked at down the road.
Yeah, so I was actually on site just at the onset of the drill program, or just, you know, as they were mobbing in and getting started. And I spent an afternoon or a day hiking around the central zone because that area is relatively underexplored. However, there was a more recent sample that was taken there of a piece of angular float that ran just shy of 2,000 grams per ton silver with 1.5 grams per ton gold. So that was a very interesting sample that I wanted to hike up to the sample location and take a look and see exactly what the nature of the sample was. So myself and our project geo, we went up there, poked around, found the old flagging around the rock that had been sampled. And interestingly, we also saw a very old school beer bottle, looked like, you know, 1930s era, and some very old rusty steel, which told us, hey, there had to have been a prospect up here somewhere. So we spend a little extra time poking around, hiking up a little higher, and came across not one, but three old prospect workings, which, you know, was very exciting to see that it was clear to us that with a lot of the being on a little bit of a steeper slope there, a lot of those rocks that had been pulled out of those workings had traveled downhill, and the nature of those visually looked very similar to the sample that ran the high grade piece of float that we knew of and that we were investigating. So that area again is relatively underexplored, and just very positive and exciting to see those old workings that we'll yet see. We did grab a couple samples. We'll see what they return for us when those come back.
So just to summarize, with this drill program, the 2,000 meters, is that all focused in the north zone then, or are you going to be drilling a little bit in the central?
That's all in the north zone. So more work needs to be done in the central zone to determine whether that area warrants drill testing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Let's move on to the company's other project, the Desperado Project, also in Nevada. Quick background here on the Desperado Project, please, Eva.
Desperado is an exciting early stage property that we acquired near the end of last year through ground staking. So we actually identified this property through our own reconnaissance work that we were doing in and around Western Nevada and around the Tonopah area. You're probably familiar with a lot of activity going on around Tonopah. So those projects or that terrain, those deposits are of epithermal nature. And Desperado, we identified, again, through our own reconnaissance work. So we had identified a large hydrothermal alteration area that would have been easy for other companies to overlook, just given that the amount of outcrop, there's not a ton of outcrop there. It does have a bit of that desert gravel that you can get in places in Nevada. So in old methods of just hiking around, prospecting, banging on rocks, this area could easily be overlooked. However, we did identify it through other means of showing us where these large prospective hydrothermal alteration areas are. We went in, I investigated the area, and found out that there were some old, like quite a few old prospect pits and old workings around portions of the property, including the old Ellendale mine, which our property surrounds. That's owned by a third party. That was the original discovery in the area. So the old reports from early 1900s indicate that they were pulling ore out of the ground from that Ellendale mine in the realm of 20 grams per ton gold. And not too far from there on our property, just a first pass sampling program returned around a 5 gram sample, and nearby in a prospect pit in some quartz vein material ran just over 2 grams of gold. So very good results for just a first pass program. We followed that up with a substantial soil sampling program across much of the property. And that came back. We had a news release out a few months ago with the results of that program that were very encouraging for us. There was a 3.5 kilometer long by about 500 to 800 meter wide silver gold target area that popped out from the results of that soil program. And then from there, we structured a summer campaign, surface exploration campaign of geophysics. So we did MAG and IP. It was in total a 2-month long program that we just wrapped up the other week. So we're very much looking forward to seeing the initial results come out of that program.
Well, Eva, as you know, when you get those results back, how quickly do you think you could get on Desperado and start drilling it? And what kind of a drill program would you be looking to initiate on Desperado?
Yeah, so we absolutely have to see the results first and to determine what the next steps are there. So that could potentially look like trenching, or it could look like drilling. Again, we have to see the results before we can provide guidance on that. However, should we move to a drill campaign, it would likely look like similar to what we are doing currently at M1. So a starter drill program of RC drilling, where you go in, hit the priority targets to confirm that there is mineralization below surface. And then should we complete that program and get the results that we're looking for, then plan a larger campaign. So really a first pass drilling campaign would look like potentially 2000 meter RC program. And the nice thing about Desperado is with the elevation where it is located, about 40 kilometers east of Tonopah, we can really work that ground year round.
Okay. So overall, again, these two projects, early stage exploration, you're getting the, let's call it phase one drilling that is underway at M1 and at Desperado, waiting for some of those geophysical results, and then eventually going to start up a drill program there or some sort of exploration program. Eva, can we get a little background on yourself, please? It's your first time on the show, and hey, management is very important, especially for early stage exploration companies. Please give us a little background.
Sure. So my background is as a geologist. I grew up in the mining industry, so to speak. In my early career, I did a fair amount of field work all over Canada, Central and South America. My last purely technical role was with B2 Gold out of their Vancouver office. I was part of their resource and evaluation team. That was fortunate timing for me because that's when they made their last several major acquisitions. So my tenure there was from 2010 to 2014. I then transitioned over to the business side of the industry, as was always my dream, to build a mineral exploration and development company. And so I did take on a corporate development role for a couple of years, and then timing was right for me personally. I headed down the entrepreneurial path and I launched Infield.
Well, Eva, can you just remind us what kind of cash the company has in the treasury and what the budget is for the remaining exploration work you're doing for the balance of the year?
Yeah, our current, as of the end of Q3, end of September, we had approximately $2.7 million left in the bank. We have, for the total budget for the drill campaigns, about $850,000. So all of the exploration work that we have planned for 2021, including the surface work at Desperado as well, when we get to the end of the year, we'll still have, and all of that exploration work is paid for, we'll still have over $1 million left in the bank. So we're in good shape in that regard.
Okay, let's also talk share structure as well, because shares outstanding sitting a little above 47 million on a fully diluted basis, right around 61 million. Eva, can you give us a little bit of insights into what management holds and any other large shareholders, please?
Yeah, management has about 27% of the issued note. Myself personally, I hold just under 17% of that, of the issued out. And the remaining shares are sort of a balanced mix of institution, family office, and more or less balanced with retail.
Okay. Just to wrap us up then, Eva, can you just give a bit of a summary then in terms of what investors can expect news flow-wise out of the company as we progress through Q4 here and into next year?
Yeah, there's lots to look forward to. So we have realistically the next set of news you can look forward to coming out of the company would be the guidance on Desperado, with we're expecting to have some preliminary results within the next couple of weeks. So once we have a chance to interpret and process those preliminary results, we can expect to provide some guidance on Desperado and what the next steps of exploration will be there. And then following that, of course, we've got the drilling that's going on right now at M1. We're expecting to wrap that program up in the next couple of weeks. So just general processing times in the lab, we can expect at least a couple of months before getting a turnaround on the results on the M1 drilling. So near the end of the year, we can expect to get those drilling results in.
Okay. Perfect. Eva, I appreciate the introduction here. If anybody has any questions or any comments on in-field minerals, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will follow up with Eva as some of these initial drill results are released and possibly even on the back of that geophysical program to outline some of the targets that could have been isolated at that Desperado project. Eva, please keep us up to date on future news. We appreciate your time and the update.
Will do. Thanks so much.